Hello.
Welcome to Sit for a Spell, a podcast where we discuss the lore, the traditions, and modern practices of the occult.
Learn alongside us as we explore the many ways the witches of today observe their craft.
So grab your book of shadows,
light your candles.
It's time to sit for a spell.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
To Sit for a Spell Pod.
It's exciting
the
times.
The podcast where we read about
stuff.
The occult.
Happy New Year.
Yay.
2020.
Woohoo. I think we missed that in the last couple episodes.
We did.
It's like the middle of January now.
I know. We've had two whole episodes before this one. But this episode 12?
13.
Ooh, is it?
Is it?
I don't know.
Is it?
Yeah, 13. We'll figure it out one day. It's fine.
It's not really that important.
So episode 13, lucky number 13. Mm-hmm. It's kind of focused on the year. So
what's coming?
Yeah. So we thought January would be a really good time to kind of like get into the wheel of the year.
But before we do that, mm-hmm. I'm James.
Oh, I'm Jess. Welcome. Hi. How are you?
Continue.
Oh, podcasting is hard.
It's really not.
It's not. So
Jess is going to teach me about the wheel of the year.
Yes.
Because she's super into it.
I love it.
And she's going to tell me all about it.
Yes.
I don't know what is going on.
So the wheel of the year is basically just the sabbats and the e-sabbats. So the sabbats have to do with the sun. The e-sabbats have to do with the moon. But it is the kind of like seasonal festivals along with kind of like the equinoxes and the solstices.
Sweet.
Yes, there's eight of them, and these are kind of the pagan Wiccan go-tos.
Okay.
For celebrating the year, bringing in gratitude, things like that.
Got it.
So there are four solar holidays. There are two solstices and two equinoxes. Mm-hmm. And there are four earth festivals. And these, the four earth festivals happen at like the cross quarter points between the solar points.
Oh. It sounds like a lot of math.
Yeah. I mean, it's very celestial. So you just, you follow the seasonal shifts. Follow the moon, follow the sun, and you're good to go.
Let's do it.
And I mean, when I was doing research for this, I was looking online at different wheels. Mm-hmm. And depending on if you are someone who is strictly pagan, if you're someone who follows more Wiccan tradition, mm-hmm. And then branch off from there. So if you're more Eastern European tradition, if you're more kind of Welsh or Irish tradition, okay. Things change, things shift,
right.
Different names. Different names, the dates might be skewed a little bit differently, okay. Different, slightly different traditions. Again, it's just kind of like a cultural, what you learned, traditional kind of practice for your
like
area.
Most holidays.
Yeah, exactly. So in Wicca, these are very specifically celebrations focused on the god and goddess. Mm-hmm. So the goddess obviously is kind of like, the overarching being, the mother, and then the god throughout the wheel ages. So the cycle renews every year. So at like Yule, the god is kind of like reborn, mm-hmm. and then goes through, and then by Samhain, the god's kind of like it's kind of like a phoenix,
phoenix's
cycle. So it's very interesting. And then in pagan traditions, it really focuses on the cycles, the lunar and solar cycles, nature, mm-hmm. harvest, mm-hmm. Really a deeper focus on the nature changes in the seasons.
Yeah.
So whatever path you follow, kind of following the wheel of the year, just like we talked about in our like types of witches episode, like following the celestial kind of like changes, kind of like grounds your work, following the wheel of the year and following these solstices and equinoxes and earth festivals kind of like ground you in different ways as well.
Absolutely.
Connects you to the changes in nature and like what's happening in the world at those different times of year, what's happening literally to the soil, to the ground, to the earth. It's very grounding. It's very satisfying. And as we talked about before, I'm a big Sabbat follower. I'm not like an expert.
No, but you know a lot. I mean, I know nothing about any of this, so.
And you're going to learn a lot.
Yay. I'm ready.
I don't know if you guys have realized it by this point, but my episodes are very
meaty.
You just have to dive right in.
Well, Jess is a historian and a teacher, and she loves to research.
It's a blessing and a curse.
Where I'm like, just get the main point across.
I'm not sorry ahead of time of the amount of information you're going to learn today.
That's fine.
So buckle up. Here we go. Okay. So a lot of these are ritual focused. Each different Sabbat or e-Sabbat is going to have very specific ritual focus. If you're in the Wicca tradition, a focus on either the god or the goddess or both, and what is happening in their specific cycle. If you're on the more pagan route, it's going to be very specific to the season you are in. Both have very strong associations throughout the cycle with fertility and abundance and gratitude, kind of at any given point.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fire.
Love fire. Love fire.
All over the place. I'm going to say fire a lot, and I'm going to say harvest a lot. So
every time she says fire or harvest, take a shot.
Don't. You will die.
Take a sip
of alcohol poisoning. Now, if you go back a few episodes, I did a full Yule kind of like 101 breakdown. So I'm not going to give you as much information on Yule as I have for the other Sabbats and e-Sabbats because I want you to go back and listen to that episode.
Listen now.
Yeah. Download push pause. It. Go back. Come back. On back. But I'm going to give you a little bit. So Yule, ancient Scandinavian tradition, Celtic, Druid, huge connections to modern Christmas. This is the winter solstice. Mm-hmm. For some who practice the Wheel of the Year, this is the start of the new year. Literally, it is very close to the Gregorian New Year calendar. It's going to take place usually between the 20th and the 23rd. I think this year is on the 21st.
I think so, yeah.
This is hugely celebrated still all over the world in just so many different cultures. You have Saturnalia. You have the traditions at Stonehenge. Mm-hmm. You have people all over Europe kind of like doing these celebrations that are so ancient, and they're just like continuing these practices. This is a time of kind of like the light is coming back from the dark. Mm-hmm. It's been longer nights, shorter days. It's very cold. You're usually in deep, deep winter. So you're really looking forward to longer days. You're looking forward to the warmth. And so it's kind of like the top of the wheel. Mm-hmm. You can't see my hand, but
she's pointing to the top.
If you look at our Instagram, there'll be a picture. But it's the start of the year. The warmth is going to come. The sun is going to be out more. There's a lot of fire involved, and bonfires and Yule logs. And this is where we get a lot of our Christmas traditions when Christianity and pagan practice began to merge.
She really goes into it in the Yule episode.
So, I mean, Christmas trees, mistletoe, caroling, ciders, gathering, a lot of it really comes from this. So winter solstice, it's great.
Love it.
Okay. So now we get in. Now the rest of the words are hard.
Just do your best.
So I'm just going to kind of like go around the circle really quick. The wheel. So you have Yule, which is your winter solstice. Then you have Imbolc. Some people say Imbolc, but this is in February. Then you have, what is it? Then you have Ostara, and that's the spring equinox. Then you go into Beltane. It looks like Beltane, but it's Beltane, okay. Apparently.
Is it like Latin?
No, it's not. I don't really know.
That's fine.
There is a belt. So they all have like multiple names. Mm-hmm. So there is a Beltane. It's spelled differently to actually get that ane mm-hmm. at the end. But I, when I was on YouTube looking at pronunciations.
Because Latin is kind of like that, were you?
It's a Celtic. It means bright fire.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And this is kind of, this is May Day, the maypole and all that.
Oh.
Then you shift over to the summer solstice, which is Litha. This is in June. Then you go on to Lammas, which is August 1st or 2nd, depending on the calendar that year. This is the first harvest festival. Then you go into Mabon, which is the autumn equinox and the second harvest festival. And then you end with Samhain, which is October 31st or November 1st, depending mm-hmm. on where you celebrate in your culture. And that is oftentimes thought of the end of the year in some cultures or the beginning of the year in others. So I'm going to break those down for you.
Let's do it.
I'm going to do it.
Go for it.
Okay, so Imbolc. Literally means in the belly. So if you are of a Wicca path, this is when the god is more in infancy, growing powers. In pagan tradition, this is Bridges Day or Candlemas, or even the Feast of Torches. Lots of fire. This is a time of hope, renewal, fertility, hearth and home, return of the light. It can be a literal time of initiation and cleansing. Mm. So in some covens, this will be the time of year or the festival where you might initiate other members into your group, like an actual feast or celebration or something.
That's cool.
It is cool. You can even initiate yourself at this time, like in your own little kind of like giving yourself over, mm-hmm. maybe like creating mm-hmm. your own altar towards yourself or something where you're kind of like diving deep.
In,
It's also a time of cleansing. So it's a really good time to like literally clean your materials.
This is in February?
This is in February, February 2nd. Clean your materials, sage your home, mm-hmm. Use Palo Santo, clean.
Yeah.
Anything where you feel it needs to be cleansed. Maybe a ritual bath would be a really good thing on this day. Something that I think is really nice is one of the traditions is keeping a candle lit the entire day because this is kind of a representation of the sun and the days mm-hmm. becoming longer. So your lit candle is just representing that sunlight because now you're in spring.
Yeah.
Technically in February, it's still winter, but the days are becoming longer.
Mm-hmm.
The colors for Imbolc are white, yellow, orange, and red. Incorporate those into your altar. Maybe wear those colors that day. Altars are generally filled with fresh flowers, besoms, which are those small little brooms. I have one on my altar.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like just like kind of like the broom part, like handheld little thing.
Yeah.
And figurines of young animals because it is like coming into spring and more babies are being born.
Babies.
Little sheeps. Speaking of sheeps. So in Old Irish, Imbolc literally means the birthing of first lambs.
Oh.
So it's like, it's just literally a time of fertility and growth.
Yeah.
So foods are... Like if you're going to have a feast every single one of these days, mm-hmm. you're supposed to eat or put food on your altar, whatever you feel comfortable with. It's a lot of dairy products because, again, like fertility.
Oh, that's a bummer. I still eat it, though.
And spring vegetables.
Okay.
And then just really quick, because in the pagan tradition, it is... Brigid's Day or Candlemas. And Brigid was a Celtic goddess of poetry, healing, and smithcraft. She's also the fire goddess.
Oh.
So it was a day kind of celebrating her the pagan tradition and ancient Celtic practice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is the second kind of little tog to the wheel, February 2nd. Then we go into the spring equinox, which is Ostara. I was saying Ostra before I looked on YouTube. And this day, because it's an equinox, can fall anywhere between March 19th and March 23rd, depending on what hemisphere you're in.
Okay.
And things like that, depending on where the calendar falls that you're making sure. So the Gregorian calendar isn't always true to the equinox or right. the solstice. And so you have to kind of like...
And then it's leap year this year.
Leap year messed up my birthday.
Was it going to be on Friday?
Yeah. I was born on the 13th, and so I get Friday the 13th birthdays every now and again. But now, because of leap year, I'm not going to get them for a while.
Thanks, leap year.
God damn it. Man-made leap things. I don't even know why we have leap year.
I'm sure there's a reason.
Probably a dumb one.
Something about farmers.
Probably. So themes. Themes of Ostara is balance, renewal, action, hope. So this is really cool because there's two points in the wheel where the days and the nights are almost equal, and Ostara is one of them.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's all about balance. So balancing out your life, balancing out just your energies. There's a balance between the extremes of seasons at this point because you are in March, so it's not too hot, it's not too cold. Some places do have like a bunch of like snow still, but I mean, in California, it's beautiful in March.
Yeah.
So the earth is becoming greener, it's becoming warmer, nature is more bountiful. At this point in this time of balance, your altars are going to have, again, fresh flowers. You're going to want to incorporate maybe a potted plant, like some kind of little small potted plant. Now, the other thing, I'm going to go off on a Bible tangent again, and I do not apologize. But
this is our weekly Bible tangent.
So the traditional, like way back, like Eastern European, like old Druid traditions of egg painting and rabbits and pastel colors. I mean,
if you're ever wondering how we got to the crucifixion of Jesus to rabbits and painted eggs, this is how.
Yes. So it's just another mixing of Christianity and Easter.
It's Christianity
and paganism.
Yeah.
Mixing the traditions together to make people happy and more conformed and easier into the path of Christianity is Easter.
I don't know how Christians explain Easter. Like not the day of Easter, but like the bunny and the eggs, and
I don't think they
They're just like, this is just what we do.
I think, I have no idea, so I don't really say, but I'm like assuming it's like, because I know some of Christianity really does speak to like capitalism and like, oh, well, the rabbit's just here, so you buy the rabbit. But
but there's
no where they got from Druid egg painting to the Christ being risen again. Like, I don't know how they make that connection on that day.
Well, they, I don't think they do.
And I don't know enough about the history of Jesus to like say if it was in March that that happened. Like, I don't know. I couldn't tell you. But that's, they evolved the two here. So your altar, fresh flowers, potted plants, eggs, the painted eggs specifically from Druid cultures, Eastern European cultures, a lot of pastel colors, ribbons, really pretty kind of like feminine, fertile things. A hare, rabbit, whatever, has represented fertility since forever because they literally...
Doing it like bunnies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I always thought that was really weird. Like
the bunny thing?
Well, the bunny being mixed with Jesus?
There is no correlation.
I don't think there is a correlation. It's just a complete takeover. I know they do like egg hunts at churches.
Well, yeah, but there's no... As growing up in the church, there was never any...
Like explanation.
Like story of, well, Jesus used to paint eggs and hide them. Yeah. The first thing he wanted to do when he arose was... look for eggs. Like there was no it was just like, this is just what we do, but it's just them taking over the traditions.
Yeah, so it's interesting, but for your practices on that day on the equinox, dye eggs.
Yeah
dye eggs, paint eggs, like actually just get a paintbrush and paint eggs. It is an ancient tradition. You can purify yourself in your home, again a ritual bath, a ritual shower, mm-hmm. just cleaning your house, cleaning your altar. Go outside and plant something.
Oh,
or just go outside, like
just leave the house,
being outdoors. It's all kind of like fertility and abundance. Mm-hmm. Some cultures will focus on specific deities of fertility and abundance at this time. They might be on others' altars. Mm-hmm. If that's the path that you follow, you might make a altar to your fertility deity if mm-hmm. that is what the path you follow. Or it's just going to be something very spring, fresh, nature forward.
Yeah.
So just thought that was interesting.
Just so mad at the Bible all the time.
It's fine. Okay, Beltane or Beltane, however you want to pronounce it, does mean, like I said, in Celtic, it means bright fire. And this is either going to be on April 30th or May 1st, which is oftentimes your Hill May Day. Okay.
So that's the, if I'm correct, the most celebrated. It's like a... In the Satanic Church, it's like a pretty big like holiday.
And if I had to take any guess on as to why, it's because this is sexy time day.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
My son was born on this day.
Oh. So themes are passion, mischief, sensuality, sexuality. Mm. Beauty, romance, and vitality.
Mm.
So it's a sexy day, sexy time. I literally wrote sexy time. so it's also called May Day. And then, Walpurgisnacht in Eastern Europe.
Sounds good to me.
Floralia is the pagan tradition. And then Beltane, where you actually say the Tane part. So this marks the transition from spring to summer. So I think part of this like sexy time, lust, passion, like heat mm-hmm. comes from the heat.
Yes.
Like literally you're wearing less clothes. Mm-hmm. It's hotter.
You're outside.
Everyone's happy. Yeah. It's like, yeah. This is a time of love and commitment. I wrote down, is this where we get June brides from? Because it's kind of, I know May, but then like later in my research, this is the most common time for like Wicca weddings.
Yeah.
Irish hand fastings, Wicca weddings are very popular on this date. The Roman pagan tradition, Floralia. Sure. It's kind of just like that transition.
Mm-hmm.
It's a transition period. I laughed at this because I had no idea. But the maypole literally is a penis.
I mean, what isn't a penis?
So it's, I mean, if you think of a maypole, you can imagine one. It's just a giant wooden pole that represents...
Women dancing around it.
Yep.
Yeah.
It worshiping. Represents male fertility.
Okay. Well, I mean, we had female fertility in there too. So,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
you
yeah,
got to
yeah.
have both.
Then you decorate it with greenery and flowers and those bright, bright ribbons
yeah.
and dance around it. And you have your bonfires right by it. And especially in the Irish culture, fire is really big in this time period for this festival. And there's a tradition of jumping over small bonfires to kind of like...
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
Fun.
So your altars at this time, fire if possible, or representations of fire. So okay. You could literally...
Like a candle?
A candle. One thing said even cut out brightly colored orange and red and yellow paper mm-hmm. to like represent a fire if you can't have one. A mini maypole. Flowers and greenery.
Use your vibrator.
Just stick it on there. It's fine. Food, breads, grains, oatmeal, cookies, braiding your hair is very common, and spending time outside.
Fun.
Yeah. It's a very happy time period. Very happy day.
Yeah.
Okay, summer solstice. This is Litha, or Litha, depending on how you pronounce it. This is in June. It ranges between June 20th and the 22nd. This is themes of abundance, growth, masculine energy, love, and magic. So this is midsummer.
Yeah.
This is like summer with an O or summer with an E. It's a gathering day, St. John's Day, depending on where you practice, has different names. This is the longest day of the year and shortest night of the year. So it is the opposite of Yule on the calendar and in the wheel. This is the opposite of Yule. It's going to mark the pinnacle of the sun's power. So a lot of ritual is there to recognize and give thanks to its warmth. Everything is abundance in June at this time. You're having a lot of fruit, a lot of harvest coming in, a lot of growth, a lot of warmth. Mm-hmm. Babies have grown up a little bit by this point. Still more babies are being born.
I know so many people born in June.
Yeah, very popular. This is a time of balance between fire and water. Fire and water rituals are very popular at this time. An ancient tradition was kind of getting a wheel, like a wagon wheel or just like a wooden circle, and catching it on fire and then letting it roll into a body of water.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's just like people gather and then they do that. And it's kind of like a balancing between fire and water. Another popular thing to do on this day is to actually go out and gather herbs or gather things from your garden. Mm-hmm. It's called Gathering Day in Wales.
Oh.
So if you can't do that, maybe go to a farmer's market and gather that way. Go to the grocery store. Buy a potted herb plant or literally go outside and gather.
99 Cent Store has those.
Yeah. So the colors of this solstice are yellow, green, and blue. So very bright, very welcoming. Your altar is going to have summer flowers. Very common are like tulips or sunflowers.
Mm-hmm. Love sunflowers.
You're going to have fruit, herbs, fresh herbs. A lot of altars kind of, some seasons vary between dried and fresh, and this would be a fresh herb time. Mm-hmm. Maybe burning a herb bundle instead of a sage bundle.
Oh, okay.
Keeping...
Didn't like say any particular kind of herb?
Well, I mean, the most common herbs are when you burn herbs are like thyme. Okay. And I mean, sage is an herb, we cook with it, but thyme and rosemary, very popular.
Yeah. And very easily accessible.
Mm-hmm. On this day, again, you're going to want to keep a candle lit throughout the day. And what's interesting at this one is that a lot of groups practice at noon when the sun...
Oh, like right in the middle of the day.
Yeah. So when the sun is at the highest point. Yeah. Besides visiting a farmer's market, going to the grocery store, gathering your herbs or gathering stuff from outside, even if you're picking flowers or whatever, another popular tradition is having picnics or eating outside.
Fun.
Yeah. Kind of just like literally just soaking in the sun.
Oh, we should do that.
Yeah. June 20th to 22nd. Okay. Now we have, Lammas. Yeah.
Sure.
It's August 1st or 2nd, depending on the calendar and the year. This is the first harvest festival of three.
Okay.
I'm going to say harvest a lot from this point forward.
Here we go.
So themes include harvest, gratitude, benevolence, benevolent sacrifice, using the skills that you have, like if you are a carpenter, like really making something fine, or mm-hmm. like you're really, it's a time to really use your skills okay. and your, or your talent. This is the hottest part of the summer and the beginning of harvest. Mm-hmm. You're giving thanks to abundance and the last weeks of the warmth, because after this point, the seasons are going to shift again. And yeah, it's going to start to get colder. Let's see. So in the Wicca tradition, the god's power is starting to wane at this point.
Okay.
And in other traditions where sun gods are involved, a lot of the times the sun gods will sacrifice their power to push into the harvest. And then that's why harvests really start to be in abundance at this time. And you're going to go out and
okay.
get all your stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah. Bread is really important at this time. So a lot of groups will either make bread or share in the eating of bread. Mm-hmm. And it's those kind of like first batches of grain that come in from the harvest. Mm-hmm. I think it's old Irish. Lammas literally means loaf mass.
Oh.
Or like loaf mass.
Right.
And because again, with the Christianity and like pagan ritual, they would bring on this day, it was very common for people to bake bread with their first harvest and then bring it into church and share.
Share it.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. So bread making is extremely popular ritual on this day. I know it's hot, but like if you can bake some bread,
that's true.
It'd be really good. Set some really positive intentions for like the rotation of the year into it. Or even just sit down and eat some bread. Sharing the bread.
Don't like sit and eat a loaf of bread by yourself.
I mean
you can
be so good. I've done that before. colors, yellow, orange, red, green, and brown. So really reminiscent of going into mm-hmm. those fall colors. Your altar is going to have, I'm going to say this a couple times, but harvest imagery.
Okay.
Literally like harvest tools, like a scythe or grain.
Leaves.
Harvesty things.
Yeah.
Baskets and bread.
Delicious.
Okay. Not saying this right. The Celtic festival and what you might see on certain wheels of the year, depending on who makes them, you might not see llamas. You might see lunasa. And this is LUGHNASA. And then there's a longer version of the name, but it's basically based on, I don't know if it's Lu or Lau, but it's a Celtic god.
Okay.
And it was originally a festival for the funeral of, I think, his stepmother or his mother.
Okay.
And that it was a time of kind of like, again, that sacrifice into the harvest. Mm-hmm. But bread is big.
Bread is everywhere.
Bread.
It's my mortal enemy.
It's so good, though.
Yeah, it
is. Okay. So now we go into the autumn equinox, which is the second harvest festival in the wheel. And this is Mabon. Mabon generally is celebrated between September 21st and September 24th. And the themes here are, again, harvest, gratitude, abundance, balance. What does that say? Preparation.
There you go.
I was like, not precipitation, preparation, and welcoming the dark, because this is when the days officially shift to being shorter.
Okay.
So on this equinox, this is the opposite of Ostara. Mm-hmm. And so this is when the days and nights are equal again.
Ostara. Or something like that.
Yeah. I've heard, when I was looking at names like on YouTube to try to pronounce them, people were saying Ostara, people were saying Ostara. It depends on your accent too. But
that's true.
Yeah.
We're Americans. We don't have accents.
Apparently we do. We just don't know we do. Summer's officially over at this point. Leaves are changing. They're starting to turn. They're starting to fall. Nights are getting colder. Days are getting a little chillier, but they're still warm.
It's my favorite time of year.
Oh, it's the best. Kind of like balancing everything again, because this day, the days and the nights are equal. Yeah. So again, balance is really important. So trying, maybe doing some kind of work or practice to try to like balance out your life, in your home. This festival also kind of provides a brief rest from the workload of harvest. So it's kind of like a break. So your altars can have acorns, pine cones, seasonal fruit, and nuts. The last of those colored leaves are leaves that were shifting. Again, harvest imagery, like literal wheat or tools, and candles.
Candles. All the time.
I just have candles all the time because I love them. The colors here, again, very harvesty, very fall, rusty reds, golds, browns, and oranges. This is a really good time to do work for protection and self-confidence. And then I thought this was really interesting, but the article that I was reading for this says that if you have seasonal depression, because after September, you start to get into those colder, darker months, and it's a really good time to make talismans or do work on yourself to kind of mentally prepare for the months ahead. So that, that was pretty cool. Mabon in the wealth tradition is a celebration for the divine mother and sun. And in the pagan tradition, it's just solely to celebrate the autumn equinox, which is pretty cool. The last one is Samhain, which is the third harvest festival. Samhain, it should be something that you are familiar with. It's basically Halloween in kind of like modern
like
culture.
Western culture.
So October 31st or November 1st, again, depending on the calendar and where everything falls. I'm not going to go into tremendous detail on this because we are going to do a full episode very similar to Yule. But I'm just going to kind of give you the same breakdown as the rest. So themes here are death, rebirth, divination, honoring the ancestors, honoring the customs of the ancestors, looking inside of yourself, benign mischief. So mischief that's kind of like silly, but not like harmful. And like revelry. So other names and other cultural traditions, Western tradition of Halloween, tradition of Dia de los Muertos, Day of the Dead, are all very, very similar. So this is the end of the growing season. So your harvests generally are ending and you're kind of pulling in the last of that abundance. And you're going to start to go into deep winter. So in some places around the world, snow has already started. Or rains have already started.
Not in California. Still 90 degrees on Halloween.
It was so hot this year. I can't even remember. I don't even remember. It was so warm.
Okay, this is a tangent. The transition from winter to, from summer to winter happened over like 2 days. It was like 90 degrees, 90 degrees, 90 degrees. And then one day it was just like 60 degrees.
And it happened like 2 weeks into December. When like on the East Coast, they were having like state of emergency status snowstorms. And in California, it was 78 degrees like on December 10th.
And all of a sudden it was, now it's like, I get in my car and it's like 35 degrees in the morning.
Desert's weird.
And it'll be 35 degrees in the morning until like March.
Yes. It's crazy. Well, it'd be like 35 degrees in the morning and like 82 in the afternoon. It's so stupid.
It's fun.
Something to do on this day. If you don't want to follow along with the normal traditions of Halloween and like getting ready for that day, is putting herbs up to dry, canning fruits, getting ready for the cold. Samhain in Old Irish literally means summer's end. Like that's what it translates to. So it's a time when the role of death or an end is honored. So you're honoring that end. The end is the warmth and the beginning of the cold. Or literal
death.
Mortality. Nights are definitely longer at this point. Many Wiccans and pagans think that this is actually the most important part of the wheel. And if it's not this part of the wheel, it's the part that follows immediately, which is Yule. Because some traditions, some paths, depending on who you practice with, where you practice, Samhain is seen as the beginning of the year, or it's seen as the end of the year.
Okay.
And then Yule is either seen as the end of the year or the beginning of the year.
Okay.
It really depends. It just depends on who you practice with and where you practice. Let's see. Kind of like the thing that everyone knows is that at this point in the cycle, the solar and lunar cycle, as well as everything that's happening on the earth, the veil between what we think of as like the spirit world and our kind of like solid world is at the thinnest. And so that's why a lot of cultures, and not just kind of like European Western cultures, but a lot of cultures really believe in like honoring ancestors and the past, because this is the time where you're the closest since they've passed.
Right. They can hear us.
Yeah.
We can sense them, hear them, see them the most.
And so there is quite a few cultures that actually do practice and honor their ancestors at this time, which is really awesome.
Yeah.
So it is easier to connect with your ancestors. So you're going to like put a lot of ritual into that. So for example, your altar will have pictures of people who have passed, any relatives that you want to honor. There'll be foliage, plants, and leaves of the season, apples, nuts, dried herbs, and like kind of like root vegetables are very popular at this time. Okay. And you can put a pumpkin or a jack-o'-lantern if you want to, because that is an ancient tradition, which I'll get more into when we do that episode, which won't be for a while.
But I can't wait.
So Halloween traditions do date back to pagan time, especially ancient Greece, leaving offerings out to the ancestors. And in Celtic tradition, in old Irish tradition, leaving offerings out kind of like on the borders of villages to kind of like appease mischievous spirits.
Keep them out.
That's also where pumpkins and stuff came from. Jack-o'-lanterns. Root vegetables are used to make lanterns to kind of like make a light border between you and mischievous spirits, or to guide ancestors. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So also on your altar, you can, or in your house somewhere, you can have a plate of food or drink. It's the favorites of your ancestors. Again, extremely common in so many cultures during this time period.
Yeah. Very, reminiscent of Dia de los Muertos.
Yeah, it's
but
very
I'm sure
similar.
It's all over the place.
So this kind of originates, not 100%, but has kind of like pulls from the Feast of Hecate, which was a Greek, it's Roman-ish worship of the goddess of the underworld. Again, just because that veil is thinner, being able to communicate more. In the Wicca pagan calendar, this wheel of the year, this being that time, that thin veil, this is actually the most powerful night for spell work and divination.
Oh.
So whether you're going to practice new things, make your candles, do your tarot, read your runes, whatever you're going to do, this night is one of the best nights. You might get like the best results if you do it on this night, just because you have people around you, spirit or otherwise, to help.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's as much as I'm going to go into Samhain on that one. But so it's either the beginning or the ending of the year, depends on how you view that wheel of the year.
That's very cool.
It's very cool. Now, with the Wicca tradition, like I said before, the god and the goddess are prominent figures and they're going through their own different cycles. So you'll want to do, your research on the rituals for what to do for those. If you're more into the pagan tradition, it's just going to be, again, focusing on nature, focusing on the seasons. But then there are those callbacks to those ancient kind of like deities and maybe some Roman and Greek callbacks, which is just super cool. And if you go on and look on like Etsy or just anywhere, you're going to find just crazy beautiful wheels.
Oh, yeah.
You can buy like actual solid ones, like ones made out of wood or whatever that people like hand make that you can hang in your home. In one of the groups I'm in on Facebook, there's this girl who made this beautiful one and she was like, I'm going to make stickers. And I was like, yeah, do it.
Yeah.
And it's I mean, you can find them all over the place.
It's a nice reminder.
Yeah. And if anything, it's just a reminder. It's a reminder of the solstice. It's a reminder of the equinoxes, and it's a reminder of the shifts and seasons.
Yeah.
So
that's really cool.
Yeah. So even if you don't practice the ritual of each kind of like tog in the wheel.
Right.
It's a good kind of like calendar to remind you where we are.
Yeah. And like seasons. What's going on in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Very good, Jessica. Very informative.
It was a lot.
No, it was good. It was, I mean, there's a lot to get through.
That was literally just scratching the surface.
Oh, I bet.
Like,
I'm sure we could do an episode on each of those things.
I can do a collection of episodes on each of them. Yeah. I mean, Samhain alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. That will come out. Closer to
Samhain,
probably in October sometime. But
listen for that. No, that was really interesting and very informative.
Yeah,
I learned a lot. I didn't know most of that, so
I knew kind of like the basics
knew like,
of them.
Yeah, like the solstice and the equinox.
Yeah, but I didn't know kind of like behind the scenes reasons.
Yeah, which is really cool.
It is cool.
It's nice to know.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
And this would be, we've talked about altars in the past. And so like you can have your personal altars, your protection altars, all those things. And then like intermingle these altars in between.
Yeah. Like a rotating type of thing, type of deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I think a lot of people do. Like definitely the times that I have done altars have been for those specific events.
Yeah.
I don't keep a daily altar.
No.
Because again, I have too many cats.
Yeah. I mean, it's. Today is January 2nd when we're recording this, even though you won't be listening to it till mid to late January. But my Yule.
Mine's still up. Yeah. Mine's up for sure.
I have all my Christmas stuff up still too.
Oh, I took mine down. But yeah, that's really cool. And that's something that I've definitely wanted to know about. And it is cool to have sort of the outline and some like very just easily explained on like. Because I think it can be overwhelming to go through and look it up and be like, what is this? What is that? And I think just knowing the basics of it is always helpful.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I got a lot of this information only from two sources. I got it from Wikipedia, just looking at Wheel of the Year and then looking at the different Sabbats and E-Sabbats. And then also a wonderful website called WiccaLiving.com. It's wonderful.
Oh,
I highly
check
recommend.
It out.
Very
Give
informative.
To Wikipedia.
Yeah. So, yeah. If you have, let us know if there's anything specific that you do for any of the Sabbats or E-Sabbats or solstices, equinoxes, whatever.
Yeah,
if there's
anything we missed.
Specific rituals that you do, if you gather for them in your community. We do have listeners in different parts of the world. So let us know if there's different things that you do. We'd be very interested in knowing.
That's always very interesting.
So just email us, sitforaspellpodcast@gmail.com.
Nope. sitforaspellpod@gmail.com. That's okay. You can try both. See who answers first.
Yeah. Someone might have the other one.
No. Yeah, definitely let us know. We always love to hear, you know, how different people practice. And if there's anything we missed or anything you think is important, let us know because we want to know. Okay. Well, that was fun.
Yeah. Wheel of the Year.
Yeah. I like it.
It's great.
So you're listening to this in like mid-January, but to us, we just had our friends' Christmas.
Yeah, like 3 days ago.
Yeah, where our group gets together and we just eat and drink and exchange presents and hang out and just love each other. And we do a Secret Santa because there's 10 of us. So we're like, let's not. Even though we always end up getting each other. Well, what we do is we'll do Secret Santa and we'd have like one Secret Santa, but then we still get little gifts for everybody.
Yes.
So everybody gets like a lot of gifts. But this year, everybody got each other like tarot cards and like books about astrology and
crystals,
self-care and for the modern witch. And, you know, just like, I got like a t-shirt and like, it was just, it's really cool to see this thing that like you kind of hide away, this part of yourself you kind of hide away a little bit,
yeah,
and to see other people be like, hey, that's pretty cool, you know, like
it's I'm very excited about it.
Yeah.
And I know this podcast is kind of like the catalyst because like you and I would do tarot with them sometimes still.
Yeah.
But it was really kind of like launching this that kind of like started the actual conversation.
Which is really cool. I think it's...
It is.
Even if it like... You could say it's like trendy now or whatever, but I mean, so what? Like it's...
Oh, yeah.
And it's that's, so empowering. Yeah. And it's so... You find something within yourself when you do things like this that I think it's important to share and to, you know, to teach other people and to help other people learn. And just seeing our friends like just totally 100% like accept us and
no
accept
question.
Yeah.
No eye batting. No,
nothing. And it's just, it's really nice.
It is very nice.
It's really nice to see that.
I can't remember if I was listening to this or reading it. I don't remember, but it's kind of this, like, it does have to do with like the millennial shift, the millennial generation. And we're kind of like at the cusp or like that first really awkward year that kind of like started the finger quotes millennial generation.
Right.
And just this generation not wanting to fall into religious norms.
Yes.
Or structure.
I think social norms even.
Yeah.
Just like we're not, we, this is going to be like a detour, but I'll get there. Like the things our mothers and grandmothers had to put up with.
Yes.
The things that society thought was okay to say and do and treat women especially.
Yeah.
This generation and especially a younger generation are like, no.
Oh, we're over it.
No.
We're done.
We're not doing that.
Yeah.
And I think witchcraft and, well, you know, paganism, Wicca, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
It's very empowering to women especially.
Yes.
So it's like a natural progression that you're going to be fighting against those gender norms, societal norms, the patriarchy, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're finding... These practices are all about finding the power within yourself.
Absolutely.
So I think it's a very natural step to say when we're not, we're not going to take it. Twisted Sister just popped into my head. We're not going to take it. Like, and to then turn to something that is vastly empowering.
Yes, it's just absolutely.
And it's just women. I mean, I know there are men, there are male witches, male warlocks, whatever you want to call them. But I think traditionally it's been a very female centered type of practice.
Mm-hmm.
Women helping each other, women gaining their power, claiming their power. And I think it's a very, it makes sense for the time that we're living in.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a pendulum because, I mean, so we're in 2020 now. And if you looked at 1920 and everything that was happening then with the women's suffragette movement and all that, it's, I mean, hopefully this pendulum isn't going to last 100 years till the next time we try to do more. But it's just really interesting to see that pendulum. And even if it was like this millennial generation that made more taboo topics because of modern religion with Catholicism and Christianity and the like really rigid structures of that.
Yeah. It's
kind
all
of
being
like
questioned.
Breaking those down. And
yeah. Like the status quo is being questioned.
Yeah.
We're like, well, like why?
Yeah.
Why?
Why do we have to?
Why is it? Why is this okay?
Yes.
So I'm really, I don't know, not proud, but I'm really
proud.
I'm proud of, us and our friends and women in general who are claiming their power and standing up for themselves.
Absolutely.
And I feel like these practices are built for that.
Mm-hmm.
So
my sister is one of our active listeners and she went out and she's buying crystals and she got tarot cards and
good for
she's
her.
Like diving in too. And it's,
I think there's so much to be said about feminism and witchcraft.
Which we're going to have an episode about in March.
Oh, we are. Yes.
In March.
That's true.
Yeah.
So I think, it's a, I think it just, they go hand in hand.
They really do. They absolutely do. And I think just this past Christmas has really kind of like, given us kind of like a physical kind of like visual
of like, oh, these things are being, they're,
being welcomed and practiced and looked into.
Yeah.
Which is
we got all kinds of like really cool books and
yeah
like just just like little kitschy things and really like mm-hmm. meaningful things yeah. and self-care things. I don't know yeah. if everybody had a rough 2019 or what, but like,
I think 2020 is going to be the year of self-care.
I think so. Cause we all got each other like self-care, like incense yeah. and like face masks and yes. self-care books and
yes. self-care and inner reflection yeah. in 2020.
Yeah. 2020,
start
man.
The new decade, knowing yourself.
Crazy.
It's crazy.
I saw this meme and it was like 1990 is the same amount of time away as 2050.
Yeah.
Again, this is like mid-January, but we've recorded a few episodes today. So yeah. that's why we haven't done this earlier, but Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy it's New Decade.
January. Yeah. Happy New Decade.
New Decade. Yay. New
we'll
me.
We'll stop saying Happy New Year in February.
Yeah. we got one more episode after this. Yeah, these past 13 episodes have been really fun.
They
and
have been.
We've gotten a lot of great feedback and people reaching out. And it's really nice to see.
It is really nice
and
to see.
And I'm excited to see what the year brings and how much we grow, how much we learn.
Mm-hmm.
Just have some fun, maybe meet some of you guys.
Yeah.
I'm excited. So keep listening.
Yes. Oh, welcome to our listeners from Guatemala and Costa Rica.
What?
Yeah.
Fun.
So thanks, guys.
Wow. That's really exciting.
It is fun.
What did you say? It was like 24 out of the 50 states or something?
Yeah. We have listeners in about 24 out of the 50 states.
What? Taking yeah. over America.
I know.
And the world. Guatemala and what?
Costa Rica.
Costa Rica. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Hello. Hola. Do they speak Spanish? I'm sorry. You can take that out. I don't know anything. Listen, review, rate, tell your friends.
Yes,
subscribe,
pass it along.
Share the wealth. If you have any friends who you think might be interested in this type of spell work, witchcraft, whatever mm-hmm. you may call it, pass it along. Let's all learn together. Let's all grow together.
Yep. And we're always looking for people to interview about different things, mediums, candle work, tarot, anything.
Oh, I really want to talk to someone who knows about like sex magic.
Oh, yeah. So put your feelers out, listeners.
I really want to talk. I'm just anybody interested.
Yeah.
Anybody. If you are even a semi expert in the thing that you practice, reach out to us.
Yeah,
we're going
to
have some
like
pretty
to talk to people.
Yeah. We have some pretty interesting ones coming up.
Mm-hmm.
We can't wait to talk to more of you. We're going to have more cryptid episodes,
mm-hmm.
more of these kind of like 101 episodes
mm-hmm.
and just going into like deep diving into different traditions.
Yeah.
A bunch of different stuff.
It's going to be fun.
So, thanks for listening.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Sit for a Spell. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on all social media at Sit for a Spell Pod.
If you have anything you would like us to discuss or want to share your own practices, please email us at sitforaspellpod@gmail.com.
Until next time,
blessed be.